Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Carolina Focus is available as a podcast on WBT.com. Welcome back. Happy Sunday to you. Sharon Thorsland and I are your hosts. Let's get started. Do you ever think you would be learning or going to school on your cell phone through texting? Jeff Hauser talks Smart Start with Sharon. Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us here on Carolina Focus. I'm Sharon Thorsland. Hope you're having a very good Sunday morning. We have a pretty interesting topic to talk about today. It's about learning with texts, and you would never probably think about texting to learn anything, but that's a new program that Smart Start of Mecklenburg County is using now in a partnership with Reed Charlotte. And so we're going to learn all about that this morning, and joining us right now is the CEO of Smart Start Mecklenburg County, Jake House. Jake, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Sharon. Good to be with you.
Well, I want to find out more about this. I saw this press release come across my desk, and I'm like, wow, texting to learn. That just seems so, like, strange to me because everybody's always focused in on their telephones and texting about things. But I guess that Smart Start has come up with a way to use this to actually help parents in teaching young children. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Smart Start and what Smart Start does here in Mecklenburg County.
Yeah, so Smart Start at the end of the day is kind of the centerpiece for early childhood in the community. We focus and think about nothing but 0 to 5 year olds and their families. And our end vision is to ensure that every child is ready for kindergarten. And that's a big task because a lot of things happen between 0 and kindergarten.
Absolutely. And I'm sure with the very diverse population of Charlotte that it's, you know, you're working with a whole lot of different types of children. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I think, you know, the pandemic especially has taught us we really have to meet children and families where they are. And we can't just expect everybody to come to the places we want them to be. And we need to be really, really strategic about how we get our messages and our teachings to families.
Well, that is a beautiful segue into the topic of the day, which is a new program called Ready for K, which I assume means ready for kindergarten. And this is a partnership that you guys are doing with Reed Charlotte. Tell us about this new program and the partnership with Reed Charlotte as well.
No, we're really excited. So at its core, Ready for K is an evidence-based family engagement curriculum that is delivered via text messages, as you said. So, and the messages are strength-based and designed to support healthy child development by giving families ideas and activities that are year-round. They cover things like language and literacy, math and science, social and emotional learning, physical development, health and safety. They're easy to do. They're accessible to everyone. And most importantly, they're developmentally aligned to the child or children. And if you're a caregiver or a family member, they're really achievable. It's like, wow, I can do this. This isn't that hard. And our goal is to get to 5,000 families this year with this program.
Wow. Now, what really struck me about this at first was the method with texting. Who came up with the idea that texting is the best way to reach these families?
Well, we work with an organization called it's Parent Powered out of California, and this is their program. And what we found, I mean, there's just so much evidence to support that texting is effective, right? I mean, data shows that 97% of American adults under 50 have a cell phone. 98% texts, and texts have a 98% open rate. And specifically in education, those rates are really, really low. So it's a fantastic way to get an evidence-based curriculum into the hands of families. And with respect to Reed Charlotte, I mean, you know, we started talking to them about how we could do something better and special for the early childhood community. And personally, I love partnerships. I love the idea that, you know, 1 + 1 could equal 3. And so we pulled our resources, found a partnership, and put together what we think is going to be a really great approach for families and children in that 0 to 5 space.
So now when they get a text, is it a daily text? Is it once a week? How does it work with the families and giving them this information?
So you're going to get 4 messages per week. So one is developmental facts, one tip for action oriented message, one is a growth message that reinforces the activity, and then a local community resource link. So, and again, this is also aligned to some of the other work that we already do in the community. So we have a program called the Basics Mecklenburg, which is our early brain development campaign that focuses on 5 fun, free, and simple things that you can do as a parent or a family or a caregiver. It has to do with maximizing love, managing stress, talk, sing, and point, count, group, and compare, exploring through movement and play, and then reading and discuss stories. So this campaign aligns those text messages with the basics and a lot of really other cool things. And the curriculum is going to be available in Spanish, English, Arabic, and then we actually have a future capacity to go to Chinese and Vietnamese. So we're trying, again, as I said before, we're trying to reach families and children where they are, but also like we've got to get it out to, beyond just English.
Right. Okay. So now you're saying they get these 4 different types of texts. Like, how does it come across to them? Is it like, good morning, count with your child today? Or give us a couple examples of messages.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, it's, and I should probably say too, like, if you're wondering, like, how do I get this? You simply need to text SSMC, as in Smart Start Mecklenburg County, SSMC, to 70138. But I'll give you an example. So like one would be, a fact might come on your text message that says, learning the letters of the alphabet is a big first step towards learning to read and write. You can make it exciting by turning it into a game. And then the tip would be, when you're in the kitchen, hunt for the first letter of your child's name on boxes and labels. Who can find it first? Can you find all the letters? And then the growth text would be, keep hunting for letters. Now, after you find a letter, ask your child, what sound does it make? What words start with that sound? So it's once you see it, you're like, oh my God, this is so simple, but it's just a cool, quick thing. And again, text is immediate and you're with your child and you can do it in an immediate format.
Do they find that reaching parents this way is more effective than, say, you know, mailing them a letter or trying to email or getting them to sign up for things?
Yeah, I mean, so there again, there is so much research that has been done. There's been, you know, randomized control trials that have gone on with Stanford University, Brown, Notre Dame, and some amazing stats. So children of parents who receive program messages gain 2 to 3 months of literacy skills during the course of the school year. Obviously, that's why Richard is excited about this. Children of parents who received the personalized program were 63% more likely to read at a higher level than children in the general texting group. And 84% of parents found Ready for K Text helpful in engaging children in early math skill building. And again, it almost 100% said, yeah, this is really easy to do.
Wow. Those are some pretty impressive numbers. So they're showing gains of 2 to 3 months worth of learning at that early age. That's a pretty impressive stat.
Well, it is an impressive stat, but you have to, there's something that is like often misunderstood or not known. 85% of a baby's brain develops in the first 3 years of life. I mean, we are talking about true sponges in this early age. And we also know from research that the optimal development occurs in the context of relationships. And so what this program is that we're doing, it's going to provide tips and data designed to reinforce the relationship between the parent, the family, the caregiver, and their child.
Okay. So it's not just like nuts and bolts education kind of stuff. It's got a whole nother element, it sounds like.
When you go to text 70 SSMC to 70138, you're gonna get questions like, how old is your child? So it's all gonna be ensuring that you're getting the messages that are developmentally appropriate for where you and your child are and at their stage of life.
That's what I was gonna ask you next. With if you're saying it's from 0 to 5, so you've got like a parent of a 3-month-old who's gonna be getting a text versus a parent of a 4-year-old. So how do those messages change over the course of the time that they're enrolled in this program?
I mean, everything that you can imagine, right? I mean, if you're looking to again, a lot of the things that we talked about with the basics, you know, and talking and singing, you're gonna probably get some of those more at the earlier ages, and then more the letter recognition and other things as you get into the later stages. So, the folks that develop these things are much smarter than me in terms of developing curriculum. So I just ensure that we get it to the masses. But I assure you, it's really fantastic content.
We're speaking with Jake House. He is the CEO of Smart Start Mecklenburg County. We're discussing this really neat new program called Ready Feeding Curriculum that's delivered via text. So you're saying that this program has obviously shown some great results. How long has it been in existence?
Yeah, they've been around for a bit. I mean, Reed Charlotte started working with them a few years ago, and then really wanted to get with us to develop a local strategy. So I would kind of describe it as a freedom and a framework. They've done some work in Tennessee and Georgia and Texas, but what we're doing here, I mean, I'm a little partial, but I think it's going to be the best in terms of getting to folks, because we are really, really being strategic and working with our partner at Reed Charlotte to do this in a really special way.
So what is, I mean, obviously I'm sure that the goal is to get children to be able to be more prepared when they enter kindergarten. What is the Smart Starts and Reed Charlotte's, what is y'all's vision? I mean, how do you see this program turning out? When do you want to like see benchmark results, that kind of thing? How long do you think it'll take before you see results from this program?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's new, right? So we've got to evaluate things based on the on when we started, and it's brand new. But we'll be doing looks at least monthly to just look at the core, like, you know, enrollments and those type of things. We'll be surveying, you know, probably a couple times a year, and ensuring that we have a pre and a post to everything we do. So you know, it's exciting. We don't go into things with the intent to do them for a year. So I see this as a long-term strategy. I don't think text messaging and meeting families where they are is a concept that is either new or going away. So it just seems like a smart thing to do, no pun intended, for us to be a part of it.
So what's been reaction so far from families that have signed up for this? Have you gotten any feedback from local families yet?
I mean, we're in the opening hours of the partnership. So, I mean, it just launched this week. Okay. We saw a pretty quick pickup. We actually saw people somehow finding out about this through random newsletters and stuff like that. We're like, oh, we didn't even officially launch yet. And so people are joining in. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, but initial pickup has been really, really strong. So, you know, people carry their phone everywhere. So it's not hard to just, you know, simply text SSMC to 70138 and get enrolled.
Wow. Now, you were saying earlier that you get the four different text messages a week, and that they're basically, you know, the tips, the action you're supposed to do, the growth, and then also the resource link. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What is that element of this program?
Yeah, I mean, so much of what Smart Start does is we're trying to mobilize resources and mobilize partnerships. You know, we don't run a lot of programs ourselves, but we connect communities, we convene the community, we convene the early childhood community to resources. So we want to make sure that all the stuff that we know that's in our universe that could help a family of a child in that 0 to 5 space, we're connecting them to those resources. So it can run the gamut in terms of different activities that we could be exposing families to.
Okay. And you were also saying that 85% of babies of the brain growth happens in the first 3 years? Is that what you...
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So, I mean, it sort of obviously answers my own question here to say it's clearly so important to be able to reach kids at this age, in the 0 to 5 age group to get them off on the right path with education. I mean, is that just like, I'm stating the obvious by saying that. I mean, how important is the growth at this age, and how big is it going to be to have this type of a program to support that early learning?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about, you know, our as a society and as a county, we should be thinking about kind of the cradle to career pathway, right? And there's a lot of organizations that play their part, and we at Smart Start are hold ourselves accountable for the 0 to 5. And so if you think about Reed Charlotte, they're trying to ensure that third grade reading is on pace. Well, right. You know, Monroe Richardson and the Reed Charlotte team can't do what they need to do if we don't do our part. And just so when he hands off children to the next stage, like, everybody has a role to play, and we need to nail that 0 to 5 for our community. And this is just one kind of, you know, piece of it in our toolkit to help us do that.
in terms of children's learning now, this year has been obviously greatly impacted because of the pandemic and not being in school. What has Smart Start been able to do during this time? Have you still been open, or have you still been serving children? What's the past year looked like for children in the Smart Start program?
Absolutely. I mean, it's you know, when we say we do everything and most things through our partners. We have a fantastic set of direct service providers that we fund. I mean, so at the end of the day, right, Smart Start is a leading funder of early childhood. We are a collaborator and a convener, and we are an innovator and trying to do it. And we've been able to flex and mold and move really, really quickly to ensure that, again, we're meeting families and children where they are. So we've seen disruption in having to change what we do, but in terms of how we reach families, I'm really proud of what we've been able to do. And I think we've learned a lot of things that will take us out of this pandemic that we can do, just like most organizations have done.
Do you feel like, I know that some people have said, oh, hey, some schools might have to just keep an online element in the future. Are there things that you've had to, sort of shift gears and do during the pandemic? Are there things that you learned and that were actually successful during this time that you think you'll be carrying forward into how you deliver things in the future? I mean, I guess starting with texts, since it's not in person.
Yeah, I think texts, how we've convened groups, and families in certain ways, and families that we support, via Zoom or other ways. I mean, people are gonna figure out ways to connect. There's gonna be times when in person is really meaningful and we need to do it. And there's times where it's just gonna be easier to get to have that conversation and have that connection, via technology. And I think that the world is just gonna be more open and excited to do that. But, a lot at the end of the day, much of what we know from research for that 0 to 5, they need to be in person. Like the children need to experience that, that touch, that feel, that connection in person. So when we're dealing with kids at this age, it's really, really important to be in person whenever we can, from 0 through preschool and all of our preschool programs, including MEC Pre-K, which is administered by Smart Start. So.
Gotcha. Well, that's, I certainly think most people would agree with you on that point. And, however, with the technology aspect of it, having this texting program ready for K seems like a really convenient method to get that message out to parents, to get them to work with their child and deliver the kind of educational support that Smart Start and Reach Charlotte and other organizations want to get to. Folks, do you think that what you were saying, that I know this just rolled out and that parents are just now starting to sign up, is this going to be something that's going to help your program just be more successful in general with connecting them with these resources they need, with just helping the child advance and be more ready and more prepared for kindergarten when they get there, just because, I mean, it is so convenient?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's like everything's right. There's no silver bullet to ensuring that every child is ready for kindergarten. There's so many things that happen in that 0 to 5, both to families and their life circumstances, to the children themselves. But, this is a proven good way to help. And we'll continue to work all of our angles. We are supporting our families. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what families just need our support, need other support, and we need to come together in any way we can. So this is a way we can do that.
Well, it sounds like a really neat plan, and I look forward to getting some updates from you in the future to see how this is progressing and what the reaction has been from parents. So if you're listening to this, folks out there, if you are interested in getting more information about this Ready 4K program or want to enroll, you can just text SSMC to 70138, 70138, and that could get you signed up and get you more information about the Ready 4K texting program. We've been speaking with Jake House. He is the CEO of Smart Start Mecklenburg County, telling us all about this new program. Jake, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sharon.
Up next, Dr. Robert Thompson, our media expert, who discusses many topics of the day with Bo Thompson, discussed Donald Trump starting his own social media platform? What's that all about?
On the WBT hotline right now is our media analyst for many years here on WBT's. So let me play a clip from you from last night. This is actually on Newsmax. It was President Trump, former President Trump, calling in and talking about something that has been percolating the last several days, the possibility of a Trump social media platform.
I have tremendous options because, you know, I had probably 200, more than 200 million people when you add it all up. And that's a lot. That's record-setting stuff. And all of a sudden they decide it's too many people. And so they cut it off. I'm doing, I think, and you just alluded to it, I do press releases. And frankly, they're more elegant than tweeting, as the expression goes. They're really much more elegant. And the word is getting out. Anything we do, I do that. And you do it less. It takes less time. It's probably a better form, and everyone's waiting for it. You know, for me, it works. For other people, it wouldn't work because a press release doesn't mean that much. But when I release a, you know, when I put out a press release, you're seeing what happens. Everybody is waiting, and I think I'm getting better and more coverage with that than I did with tweeting. And the tweeting gets you in trouble because you're retweeting people, and you find out that the retweets were not so good because the person, if you didn't do research, that you're retweeting is not the best. So it gets you in a little difficulty every once in a while. But no, I like this better than Twitter. Actually, they did us a favor. This is better. But we have a lot of options, and something will happen with social media if I want it to happen.
Well, there's a lot going on there, even some self-reflection, Dr. Thompson, of of his existence on Twitter and how he used it. I don't know that we have anything definitive out of that, but it sounds like something is coming.
No, and, you know, he makes, candidly, some good points. It's true. The press releases probably are more elegantly written. They're not done, by simple immediate reaction by reflex. He also makes a point about retweeting stuff. He did get in some trouble for that, and this doesn't allow for that. So you're right. There is some self-reflection in there. I think some points are made. And for the most part, he's right that when he does a press release, it does get covered. It gets covered, of course, with a intermediary. That's why they call it the media, as opposed to tweets, which were just read directly by people who were following him. But he does make a lot of points. Now, as far as the rumors about launching an entirely new social media platform, and yeah, by that I guess he means a platform like Twitter or like Facebook, that would be a little bit more of a giant project than sending out press releases.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him, he took to Parler for a little while there in the days
when
he was ousted from Twitter. Now, I don't think Parler was ready for the onslaught that it got, and I think that whole situation illustrates sort of what you're talking about here. It's a massive undertaking, especially in this day and age of social media domination. Parler's infrastructure is not what Twitter and Facebook is. So I think the former president obviously has the name recognition and the resources maybe to back this and make it something that people would be interested in. But it's a bit more than saying, hey, I'm going to start a network on television or something. This is something that is living, breathing, and evolving, as we know, in this digital age.
Yeah, no, that's true, and it would require a considerable capital outlay and the I word, infrastructure, to get the whole thing running.
Dr. Thompson up at Syracuse, always enjoy talking to you.
I enjoy it too. Thanks.
All right, now to wrap up the first segment, let's switch gears. Mark Garrison interviewed a restaurant owner in Matthews and how he was able to make it happen through the COVID pandemic.
Time for our weekly feature, Success at 6, all about local people who find success in unusual ways. And with the pandemic, well, success has been hard to come by for a lot of businesses, restaurants especially hard hit. Through the months, if you listen, you know we've kept tabs on a number of small restaurants to see how they've done. So this afternoon, I caught up with a pretty well-known chef in Matthews. When I called, he was clanging around in the kitchen, so I just had to ask, what you cooking?
What are you whipping up there in the kitchen?
Oh, I'm making creme brulee.
Creme brulee.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's a French restaurant. I got to have creme brulee. So.
Yes, a nice restaurant has got to have creme brulee. And Adam Reed has a nice restaurant, a small nice restaurant called Sante. It's right in the middle of downtown Matthews. historic old building that used to be the town's bathhouse more than 100 years ago. But this is where, in a tiny kitchen, Adam Reed whips up gourmet dishes, serving customers at a handful of tables. During the pandemic, it was only a few tables.
When we were at 50% capacity, I had a total of 9 tables in the restaurant.
Wow. Now the governor says restaurants can go back to 75% capacity. So you'll add, what, 3 more tables?
I would be allowed to add 4.5 tables, so I'm probably just going to add 5 tables, you know, and be at 14 tables inside.
It has been quite a year that started last March 17th when Governor Cooper closed all the restaurants.
North Carolina bars and restaurants will be closed to sit-down service and limited to only takeout or delivery orders starting at 5 p.m. today.
The same day they shut us down, which was on St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
We had a great menu all planned for St. Patrick's Day. And I just said, you know, we are doing to go.
No drive-through, no walk-up window. We're talking a small fine dining restaurant. But Adam Reed said, we're in the to-go business now. We will just reinvent on the spot.
I was like, do to go. You know, other people, they were like, well, we'll have to figure out, you know, how to work through that process. So I was like, there's nothing to figure out.
Just
people call in the orders. We have to-go boxes. Put them in the boxes. It's to go. That's it.
But the to-go business was tougher than he thought. Adam scaled back his fine dining menu, doing 2 or 3 daily specials, blasting out emails, posting the menu on Facebook, hoping people would call.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who told me that they were excited about seeing, like, what we were creating today. What are we making today?
So much uncertainty in those days, stay-at-home orders, businesses closed, but people did indeed call Sante. In fact, business was good.
I'm a little bit embarrassed to say that in April and May of last year, when everybody else was shut down, we made more money than we had the year before.
Off of to-go orders. Wow.
Off of to-go orders.
Now, that initial boom didn't last. Business declined in the summer as other restaurants opened. But things were steady enough to keep going, even when only 25% of his tables could have customers.
This order directs you to stay home unless you need to leave for essentials, such as your job.
Last year, when Roy Cooper first made his announcement, I interviewed Adam Reed. At the time, he said, "This isn't Armageddon. We should not shut down." But now,
do you think the governor overreacted?
I don't really. You know, I'm not in that camp. I'm in the camp of we didn't really know what we were facing, and we had to do what we felt was safest.
In fact, Adam Reed had COVID last summer, so he shut his restaurant for 2 weeks. It was a financial blow. But when he opened again, customers were ready. Adam gets emotional talking about the past year. He knows he has survived when so many in the restaurant business have not. Well, you're a COVID success story. So many restaurants closed. It's estimated the state will lose half of its restaurants. What do you think you'll learn the most out of this?
I know. I mean, I feel very devastated for all those people who I know how hard it is. The hours and the dedication, the time, the sacrifice. And family and stuff. And I can't imagine losing all of that, you know, for something out of your control.
But Adam Reed quickly says it is the people of Matthews, his regulars, who open their hearts and their wallets just to help one local business not only survive, but thrive.
The connection that we have with the people who we take care of in this community, that bond is very strong. And, you know, where, you know, that appreciation really showed in how they supported us to make us successful. They were coming in and opening their wallets and supporting not only us, but also supporting the servers. I still remember, you know, we had early days when we first opened, you know, if one table come in, that person would have $90 worth of dinner and leave a $100 tip.
Wow.
For the server. It's a big deal.
So Adam Reed and Sante, the little restaurant that could easily have been killed by COVID, is surviving and doing well. He flourished in the early days of the pandemic by getting creative with to-go orders, And now, as people are just itching to get out again, he's on target to have yet another good month.
We're having our best March that we've ever had. It's like people want to come out.
Yeah, people are ready to get out. Adam Reed, Sante, and Matthews, they have survived during COVID. It hasn't been easy, but they've done well.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Welcome back to Carolina Focus. Carolina Focus is here on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, 107.9 The Link, and 102.5 610 Sports Radio WFNZ. Along with Sharon Thorsland, I'm Ed Billick. On this beautiful spring Sunday, let's talk about some exciting news that broke this week in the Queen City. A new medical school right here in Charlotte. First, Mark Garrison and Joe Gillespie from WBT do a summary of what's about to happen, and then we'll dig right into the actual press conference and hear some more of the details right here on Carolina Focus.
The city of Charlotte just sort of popping with pride today. The mayor and others excited to announce details of the city's medical school. It is a partnership between Atrium Health and Wake Forest Med School. Along with announcing the location of the campus uptown, Atrium made a lot of interesting promises. They're saying this new medical school will mean more doctors in rural areas, and they think it will mean more blacks and Hispanics trained to work in medicine. So they talked about the future in glowing terms today, all because Charlotte will have a medical school, something the city's been trying to land for years. And now it's coming. Joe Gillespie on the story.
We had to secure the land first, which is the announcement they were making today.
Atrium Health President and CEO Eugene Woods talking about the site selection for the brand new Wake Forest School of Medicine campus in Charlotte. It'll be on a 20-acre site in Midtown Charlotte.
A newly engineered intersection of Baxter Street and South McDowell Street. And because it's right off of I-277, I believe it will become an iconic addition to the Queen City skyline. Everyone who sees it will know this is a place where excellence lives and excellence is learned. The proximity to our flagship hospital, Atrium Health Carolina's Medical Center, will give students access to the finest facility, instructors, and practicing clinician experts at CMC, including at our world-class service lines and our other nearby facilities.
We expect construction to begin by early next year.
Dr. Julie Ann Freshlag is dean of the Wake Forest School of Medicine.
Well, we're going to begin right now with third and fourth year students down there, even before the building. So we have about 45 that are going to be doing intermittent rotations this year and next year. And then when we open in 2024, our first year class will be about 48 students. And we hope to grow it up to about 100 students per class, so 400 students per year to make that happen.
Woods says this enterprise is going to be more than just buildings and a school.
We have a bold vision of where we want to go and the impact we want to make. With Wake Forest School of Medicine as our academic core at Atrium Health, we also want to make sure that we are the first and best choice for the curious scientific minds looking to grow in this field. We can and we will reshape the future of medicine and medical education, delivering day in and day out to our communities, our state, and our nation.
There are other big goals.
We will be the largest educator of physicians and other medical professionals in the state. We will be one of the largest, most diverse learner bodies in the country, producing a generation of medical professionals representative of the communities that we serve. We will create opportunities for underserved populations to access higher levels of education. And we will reduce the shortage of physicians working in inner city, suburban, and rural areas of North Carolina.
How will this big goal be achieved?
We are proud to announce the creation of a unique scholarship fund because we believe Atrium Health can play a significant role in enhancing equity in access to both health care and education. This starts by ensuring that students from disadvantaged and low-income communities all have equal opportunity to pursue careers in health sciences. The establishment of this scholarship program is designed to support the continuing education of those who live in underserved communities, specifically in their pursuit of a degree in health sciences. Ultimately, our hope is that these brilliant young minds will plant themselves here and join our Atrium Health family after they earn their degrees, so even more of our urban and rural communities will continue to have the best and brightest in medicine close to home.
Wake Forest President Nathan Hatch says other Wake Forest programs in Charlotte will be moving into the new facilities.
We plan for the center to become a collaborative home for our nationally ranked MBA, executive education, and certificate programs that have been offered in Charlotte for almost 25 years. I'm also pleased that we will locate our new School of Professional Studies on the same campus as the School of Medicine.
So in a few years, Charlotte loses a distinction it's held for several years. It will no longer be the largest city in the United States without a medical school. Joe Gillespie, WBT News.
As we have been talking about a medical school coming to Charlotte for many, many years, a story we've covered for a long time. Now, the campus is set to open in 3 years, and the first class in 2024 will have just over 40 students.
Thank you, Chris, and good morning, everyone. You know, it's hard to believe that a little less than 6 months ago, we gathered in a similar video call to announce a historic strategic combination, bringing together the clinical excellence of Atrium Health and the educational and research distinction of Wake Forest Baptist Health. With that announcement, not only did we start chart a course for our future as the new Atrium Health, but we also ushered in a new era of health for the state, for the region, and we believe for the entire country. We know how much our patients and communities have depended on us and our frontline heroes during this pandemic. And we know how much people are depending on us now to create and lead the next generation academic health system in order to continue to improve health, to elevate hope, and to advance healing for all. And one of the ways we will accomplish that is by bringing a second campus of the Wake Forest School of Medicine to Charlotte, which is currently one of the largest cities in the nation without a four-year medical school. Together with Wake Forest University and combined with this significant investment in our community, we will impact millions of lives through even better care, research, and education. In short, today we are planting new trees of life that will provide welcomed shade for generations to come. And that's just the start. Next slide. Not only will we fulfill a long-held desire for Charlotte to have a four-year medical school, but it will also serve as a catalyst for innovation, for economic development, and social impact across the Southeast and beyond. Based on just one economic study, the Wake Forest School of Medicine at both locations and the anticipated spin-off activities in healthcare and other economic development is projected to have an additional $5.2 billion in economic impact and create nearly 43,000 jobs over the course of the next 20 years, helping our communities grow and thrive beyond imagination. So as we think about the impact of this new school, we also want all can share in the economic mobility that it will generate. And thus, we want to honor those from this area. Those who have, as such, today, we are proud to announce the creation of a unique scholarship fund because we believe Atrium Health can play a significant role in enhancing equity in access to both healthcare and education. This starts by ensuring that students from disadvantaged and low-income communities all have equal opportunity to pursue careers in health sciences. The establishment of this scholarship program is designed to support the continuing education of those who live in underserved communities, specifically in their pursuit of a degree in health sciences at Atrium Health affiliated colleges and universities, including the Wake Forest School of Medicine, Carolinas College of Health Sciences, and Cabarrus College of Health Sciences. Ultimately, our hope is that these brilliant young minds will plant themselves here and join our Atrium Health family after they earn their degrees, so even more of our urban and rural communities will continue to have the best and brightest in medicine close to home. So today, we are proud to announce the creation of the Bishop George E. Battle Jr. Scholarship Fund. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, Bishop Battle is an emeritus member of the Atrium Health Board of Commissioners and Atrium Health Foundation Board. But beyond Atrium Health, he has led efforts for affordable housing, for parks, small businesses, and extracurricular programs throughout our community, including in Biddleville Five Points, a historically Black community in West Charlotte. Bishop Battle is a lifelong advocate for those who are at risk or economically disadvantaged. He has received more than 100 awards and honors during his career, including the Longleaf Pine Award, the highest award bestowed by the state of North Carolina. And maybe most important, he has a storied tenure on the Mecklenburg County Board of Education, advancing equity in education for all. So we're very proud to announce our investment of $5 million in seed money into this fund. And we will be counting on our amazing community to match this to create a $10 million fund by the time our first students are seated at the School of Medicine in Charlotte in 2024. Now, we will keep you posted on this incredible scholarship program we have in store. But in the meantime, I'd like to pause and reflect for just a moment. When we gathered in October, we said today is designed to not just meet the moment, but to create what the future of healthcare will be like, powered by our mutual and deep commitment to life-changing care for all. And our ongoing integration to build the new Atrium Health is demonstrating that every single day. From our investments of $10 million into affordable housing initiatives, to the 50,000 meals provided through our Kids Eat Free program, to more than the 2.6 million free masks that we have distributed in the middle of this pandemic, to the 30,000 community members served through our roving COVID testing and vaccination site. We have been committed to impacting the lives of your neighbors, of your loved ones, and of your friends. And we will be committed to that every single day. And the establishment of a second campus of the Wake Forest School of Medicine in Charlotte will enable us to do that even better. And we're not the only ones that are overjoyed by this. To show you what we mean, we asked a few leaders in our community for their thoughts. So let's hear from them now.
Hi, everybody. Governor Roy Cooper here. Congratulations on the opening of the Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist Health Medical School. For the past decade, the Charlotte area has thrived thanks to its welcoming community, talented workforce, and great quality of life. But it was the largest city in the country that didn't have a four-year medical school until now. I'm so grateful for Atrium Health, Wake Forest, and everyone who helped make this happen. This medical school will make the entire Charlotte area and its surrounding communities healthier. Our health professionals have played a critical role in the fight to beat this pandemic, and they're a large part of why we're able to start turning the corner on COVID-19. As we emerge from this pandemic, I'm committed to making sure that all North Carolinians have access to affordable health insurance and that our health care system is more equitable for everyone. Congratulations again. I can't wait to see the impact this medical school will have on our great state. Thanks so much.
Greetings. It's an exciting time to be in the Queen City. Today, I'm proud to join in the unveiling of the location of the new Wake Forest School of Medicine campus in Charlotte, North Carolina. As you continue to forge this path, I implore you to remain committed to equity, investing in your local community, and working to eradicate health disparities, especially among our most vulnerable.
I want to congratulate Atrium Health and Wake Forest on reaching this important milestone. Bringing a four-year medical school to Charlotte has been something this community has sought after for many years. And beyond just the school itself, the vision that has been laid out for the Innovation District will be transformative, an initiative that will continue Charlotte's ascension as one of the most forward-thinking and attractive cities in the country for businesses, talent, and jobs.
You know, we've always been very, very proud of the Wake Forest Bowman Gray School of Medicine here in Winston-Salem. And now we're very excited to share this school with Charlotte. It's rewarding to me to think of the countless numbers of physicians and healthcare professionals that will come from this new school. And I'm thrilled to say to the city of Charlotte, best wishes and good luck with this new School of Medicine. I know you'll be equally as proud of the results as we have been here in Winston-Salem.
I am so excited. Having a four-year School of Medicine in Charlotte sets the table not only for enhanced patient care, but also creating an attractive business climate that will serve as a magnet for innovative companies to create new jobs and call our area home.
Adding a second campus of the Wake Forest School of Medicine in Charlotte will prove to be a key milestone in Atrium Health's legacy and its commitment to address healthcare inequities in underserved communities. Our focus will be on lowering the cost of medical education, utilizing digital education techniques, and increasing the availability of medical clinicians in the rural areas of the Carolinas and the number of Black and Brown physicians who are critical to eliminating healthcare inequities in these communities.
The medical school is the distinguishing factor of the medical center, and for many decades has been a great asset to this part of North Carolina. The opportunity to expand the medical school into Charlotte creates exponentially more opportunities in education and research and will benefit the medical school and all of us.
The Wake Forest School of Medicine in Charlotte will be a tremendous extension of the positive impact that Wake Forest Baptist Health and the Wake Forest School of Medicine have had in Winston-Salem. And I'm personally extremely excited about what this is going to mean for the Wake Forest School of Medicine, for Atrium, for Wake Forest Baptist Health, as we extend quality care throughout our region and beyond.
Congratulations on this announcement. We're looking forward to seeing what takes place because of this strong partnership. And we know that the work that you're going to be doing together is going to change the landscape for generations to come. So thank you.
As the largest employer in Winston-Salem, Wake Forest Baptist and the Wake Forest School of Medicine, they are together the key economic and innovation engine in our region. Now, with this regional campus of the School of Medicine in Charlotte, the potential opportunities for further economic growth across this region in jobs and scope is considerable.
Having a strong academic medical core is a key component of a local economy. By creating additional world-class research capabilities in Charlotte, the Wake Forest School of Medicine has an unparalleled opportunity to improve treatments and technologies that can change the face of care delivery for generations to come.
So what a momentous day for Atrium Health and Wake Forest School of Medicine. For those who I haven't met, I'm Julie Freischlag, Chief Academic Officer at Atrium Health and Dean of Wake Forest School of Medicine and CEO of Wake Forest Baptist Health. As Jean mentioned, we have already begun the work to bring together an education and research course to Winston-Salem in 1941. This move allowed us to expand from a 2 to a 4-year curriculum, and we have been growing ever since. Next slide. Today marks another pivotal milestone day. It is a day of celebration, and I'm so proud and excited about this next step in Wake Forest School of Medicine's future. I know our teams and communities are excited too. I've been overwhelmed by your shared enthusiasm. Bringing a second location of Wake Forest School of Medicine to Charlotte opens the doors of opportunity for students and the overall advancement of medicine. Our School of Medicine had the highest number of applicants this year in our history, more than 11,000 applications for only 145 spots. It's incredible to think of the opportunities we have for further growth and impact. As the only entity with 2 exceptional campuses, with a 4-year medical school in our region, and with premier education offerings across the enterprise, we will be the largest educator of physicians and other medical professionals in the state. This is so important for advancing education and care and also reducing the shortage of doctors in our rural and underserved urban communities. And through our combination, we are also creating one of the nation's most diverse student bodies that reflects the rich diversity of the communities we serve. By offering our amazing students multiple locations where they can learn and train, each with distinct advantages, we'll create one of the most unique medical school experiences in the country. I want to share more with you about what will be in this space. We'll continue our tradition of building next generation experiential training that started at our Bowman Grace Center for Medical Education in Winston-Salem. The new Center for Innovation in Health and Learning will truly be the standard for medical education that embraces new technology to make learning and teaching even more interactive. We're already hard at work on the design of the building and also exploring how space within it will be used. For example, we're looking at how can we use space to maximize opportunities for collaboration across the different programs. How can we ensure equity across all disciplines? For example, designating student spaces that promote interactions and collaborations of learners from all experiences and backgrounds. How can we reflect our diverse student body in all aspects of the design and organization of spaces? Our new Center for Innovation in Health and Learning will be an active community partner, committed to the health and vibrancy of our communities and preparing students to be tomorrow's healthcare leaders. Our activities and programs will encourage student service and community engagement, experiences that foster the values of compassion, diversity, empathy, and integrity that are so important in medicine, and also give the students the opportunity to make a positive impact, often in the areas that need it the most. We expect construction to begin by early next year with our first class of first-year students in the building in 2024. I'm so excited about our many opportunities ahead. For more about how this community impact and commitment to collaboration will be made possible, and of course, so much of what we're able to do is due to our partners at Wake Forest University, I'd like to now introduce President Nathan Hatch. Next slide.
Good morning. Today is indeed a remarkable day for Wake Forest and for Charlotte. I am grateful for you, Julie and Jean, and all those who have contributed to the realization of this shared vision for strengthening research, teaching, and clinical practice in North Carolina. These efforts will pioneer new trails in medical and professional education and further the care and compassion we can offer our friends and neighbors across the state. A second campus for Wake Forest School of Medicine in Charlotte is truly a significant milestone for both health and education in the Southeast. It will also be a driving force for innovation in the corridor between Winston-Salem and Charlotte. This will further strengthen the academic bonds Wake Forest has with Charlotte and help advance learning, economic growth, and opportunity. We are excited about the center as a home for a medical school. We will be Wake Forest School of Medicine with two locations, one in Winston-Salem and one in Charlotte. We look forward to the many ways our students, researchers, and physicians will have a positive impact in both communities. The new center will transform the presence of Wake Forest in Charlotte by providing a state-of-the-art home to our existing programs while enabling us to introduce an expansive set of novel offerings that are specifically designed to address the ongoing development needs of professionals in the Queen City.
Thank you to Mr. Woods, Dr. Fleischlag, President Hatch, and for sharing your thoughts with us. It's truly amazing to think about where Atrium Health is headed and the opportunities that lie ahead for Wake Forest School of Medicine. And thank you to the members of our media, as well as those watching online, for taking part as we celebrate this historic occasion.